We are certainly grateful for the presence of each and every one who has chosen to come be here this morning with us. We are especially grateful for visitors in our presence, as we always look forward to having others come to be with us. And as the song that we just sang indicates, our purpose here, at least one of the purposes we have, is to look into the Word of God as it was preserved for us through the, I'm convinced, watching and care of God through the ages. And we have it in a means by which we can completely understand what He expects of us and what He wants us to do. And our purpose this morning is to ensure that we are working together for that common cause that is found in the Word of God. Serving the Lord so that we can get to heaven. And of course, one of the things that is on our mind, especially this time of the year, for a number of reasons, is thankfulness. Most of us, because we're looking forward to sitting around a table full of food so that we can be thankful before we jump into it and eat all that we can and then kick back in the recliners and go to sleep for the rest of the day. Or at least that's been my past practice. Maybe we've learned some better eating habits through the years and we don't gorge ourselves as much, but this is a time of year when we think about thankfulness. And one of the reasons for that is this time of the year, especially here, is the end of the harvest. The food has been brought in. Now, I know most of us bring our food in once a week from Walmart or Food Center or whatever your favorite grocery store is. We don't go out in the fields and gather the wheat and the corn and the beans and the peas and the tomatoes and all of those things and bring them in and get them ready so that we've got food to eat through the winter. We don't do that anymore for the most part. Some of us play at doing it every now and then. Some are real serious in that play. But generally, especially in our hemisphere, this is the time of harvest and the completion of the harvest. And so that's one of the reasons that we have this time that we are thankful, because we recognize that without that harvest, we don't get to eat. We don't have what we need to sustain us. We're still close enough to that time that many of us can see it in that manner. So we want to talk this morning about being grateful to God. And we're going to start with this idea of thankfulness for the bountiful harvest that God has given us that we see throughout the pages of Scripture. But I want us to move into things that are much more important as we get toward the close of the lesson. I hope that we see a better connection between our Scripture reading this morning and our topic. Because we want to begin by thinking about thankful feast. Much of what we learn about how God interacts with His people comes from the story of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were given instruction by God in Exodus chapter 23 that three times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year. When you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor, three times in the year shall all your males appear before God. These were feasts that were commanded by God. We recognize and know these feasts from our studies of the nation of Israel and their history. We start looking a little more detailed at these mandatory times. We find that Feast of Unleavened Bread is associated with the Passover. That's a feast that we recognize, we understand, at least as best we can, not being Jews. And that feast included a wave offering of the first fruits from Leviticus chapter 23. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. So we find this feast of the Passover, which we recognize as their acknowledgement and remembrance of God bringing them out of Israel, out of Egypt as the nation of Israel. It had an association to the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest. We continue in chapter 23 and we read of a feast of harvest. And we generally reference that as Pentecost. It was 50 days after the waving of the sheaf that this harvest, or this feast took place. And it included a grain offering of the first fruits. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. In other words, part of your harvest that you've already taken. You take it to God and you offer it to Him. Again, a feast associated with harvest. Then we have the Feast of Ingatherings, or the Feast of Booths, which is associated with the Day of Atonement. And generally when we think about this feast, we think about the Day of Atonement itself, the day in which they offered the sacrifices for the high priest so that he could carry in the sacrifices and the blood sprinkle on the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of the people of Israel. That day in which all of their sins were remembered and an offering was made so that God would be appeased. But it also included the Feast of Booths, or of Ingathering, a celebration of the harvest. On the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the Feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. Israel celebrated the time of harvest with a feast of thanksgiving and praise to God. Now, we don't live in the time of Israel. We don't live under the law of Moses. But we can see how God dealt with His people in regards to these feasts as we look at the history of Israel. And one of the big problems God had with Israel throughout their history is they did not keep the feast as He had appointed for them to do. They didn't express their thankfulness. They didn't express their praise and devotion to God, and they were held accountable for it. And we know, as we've been studying in the book of Daniel, they were taken into captivity. A major portion had already been scattered to the winds. The remnant of Judah had already been taken into captivity. And as we've been studying in Daniel, we'll look again this evening as we get into chapter 10, they were actually to the point of looking to be able to go back, to start over again. And of course, the message we'll see in Daniel 10 through 12 is, yeah, you get to start again, but it ain't going to last very long. Why? Because they didn't keep God's commands. Now, we don't have really any mandatory feast per se. We do have the Supper of Remembrance, though, that we're instructed by God to keep, to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, to remember what He did for us. And while we think of that as a feast of remembrance or a supper of remembrance, and we focus on the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior and what that means for us, we also recognize that there's a need for us to be thankful for that sacrifice. And so this reminder of what God has done for us should give us an urge in our hearts and in our minds to thank God. And oftentimes in our prayer, we do thank God for the blessing of the Savior. But just like Israel, we have many opportunities to thank and praise God for the blessings He's given us. Israel had a number of other feasts in which they thanked God for particular instances, for particular deliverances. And then they had regular thanks in their prayers and offerings to God each and every day. We have opportunity to praise and thank God whenever we desire. We think about it this time of year, and we encourage our kids to think about it the end of next month after they get all the gifts. But it's something we ought to have on our minds all the time. We ought to always have a thankfulness in our hearts to God. James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We are blessed immensely by God, and we ought always to be thankful for those blessings. To some degree, the holiday that our nation is going to celebrate this week, and we will probably all partake in some manner or another, is a celebration of harvest. It's a celebration of making it through till we have food again. Now, like I said, we're not in that situation. But it's a reminder of us of the blessings that we get. It's a time that we stop and we are thankful for those things. But we have many blessings that are provided to us throughout our life. Certainly, we recognize food as one of those things. Whether we have to go out and toil in the soil in order to gather that food and have it to eat through the winter time, using the canners and the cookers and the freeze dryers and whatever else you might use for preserving. I don't think many of us are salting pork down and hanging it in a cave right now or hanging it in a smokehouse. Oh, it sounds tasty. But whatever means, we recognize that this is a blessing and we're thankful for it. In Acts chapter 14, we read, in past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. In other words, God has always seen that man has the means to feed himself. Even when men were not following after his ways, he left witness of himself to them by giving them rains from heaven and fruitful seasons so that they had food. Jesus says in Matthew 5, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Have you ever got up in the morning and looked out your window and the sun is shining bright and you looked over the courthouse in the middle of town and it was dark and nasty and evil looking? That's where all the politicians are, huh? Or over at the prison? You get the point? When the sun rises, it gets to everybody, whether they're good or bad. God pours out his blessings on all. Always. God doesn't sit up in heaven and look down and say, yeah, Dan's been good this year. I'm going to make sure he gets all the rain he needs. But his neighbor, Marcia, she's not. Now, y'all don't go tell Marcia I said she wasn't good, because she is. She's a fine neighbor. She stays on her side of the fence and I stay on my side. We converse back and forth. I have seen it rain in the front yard and not in the backyard for a short while, and it moves. God provides blessings to all. Are we thankful for those blessings? We should always be thankful. We have shelter. Jesus said of himself in Matthew chapter 8, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Did you get up this morning and you could see the stars as soon as you opened your eyes? Most of us didn't. Most of us were completely covered by shelter. In fact, when we woke up this morning, the heater was probably running for most of us. Unless it just shut off. Because we have shelter. We have a place of refuge. Place of comfort. usually. That's uniquely ours. Where do you think that came from? Oh, well, now I got out and I worked 40 hours a week in order to provide the money so that I could get enough for a down payment so that we could go to the bank and borrow enough money to have this house. Who gave you the ability to go work for 40 hours a week or 45 hours a week? Who gave you the 50 hours a week that you could work? You see? Every good thing comes down from the Father of lights. Most of us think of shelter as a good thing. Our health. Somebody says, well, now wait a minute. Somebody ain't been working very well on giving me good health. But you do have a measure of health, don't you? Every one of us was able to get up, get dressed, prepare ourselves, and come to services. Some had much more difficulty than others. And there are some who are not here because of health issues, but even they would say, I have a measure of health. Do you thank God for the measure of health that you have? I've told folks here in the past, sometimes it's really, really good for me to come to services and hear them talk about all their aches and pains and their sicknesses and their debilitations and such, because it makes me realize I'm doing great. There's still a big difference, but not as much as there used to be. But you know, when I hear folks talk about what's going on in their lives and what they're having to look at, what they're considering, I look at myself and I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Do I thank God for that? That measure of health is yours because God has blessed you. Maybe it's because you listened to advice through the years and have followed good practices. But the reason those practices work is because of what God has done in providing for us a means to have good health. Maybe it's because we listened to doctors and we went to doctors at the right time. Good thing there was a doctor there. Did we thank God for that doctor? We have a measure of health. The wise man says in Proverbs 17, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We need to be thankful for our health. It will make us feel better. It won't fix everything. It'll make us feel better when we're thankful for the health we have. And we're grateful to God. And then, of course, there's family. The home. Not just the house that we live in, but the home we have. Now, many of us don't have as many people in our home as we used to, but we still have family that we count on and that counts on us. We have those that are dear and precious to us because of the relationship that we have. Sometimes I pick on my siblings a little bit, but I sure am glad that I have them. Grateful for the experiences that we have had together and hope that we will have more as time comes. My children get a little frustrating every now and then, even now when they live hundreds of miles away. But I'm still grateful for them, and there are things that happen in my life that I want to tell them about. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. That is not a command to have just as many kids as you possibly can, by the way, as somebody told me one time. They used different words, but that's what they were saying. I've talked with them long enough to verify that. The warrior is happy when he's got all the ammo he needs to fight his battle. Is that an idiom? I don't know. That's the point that's trying to be gotten across there. Family is important to us. In fact, probably a great number of us will be gathering with family sometime this week. If we don't make it this week, then probably sometime later on in the next month we'll be gathering with some family. Because these 2 months are the time that we generally try to get with our family in some manner or another. Because that's important to us. It's a great blessing to us. And as we grow older, family becomes even more of a blessing sometimes. I recall several times Mom expressing her thankfulness for her children helping take care of her when somebody would say, "But you look like you're doing well. My kids are taking good care of me." We weren't so sure we were doing that. But she was thankful for what we did. And I know there are others whose family situation is such that they're realizing that, they're recognizing that, that the one who can be the one that can help is there to help. It's an important thing for us. It's a blessing, and it's a blessing from God. Huey Hartzell, in his song, "Train Your Children," which I think is in our book. I did not take the time to go double check, but precious gifts that come from God, our dear children whom we love. What a blessed privilege we have molding hearts for heaven above. Just another reminder of the blessing we have in family. Train your children, number 700, if it's in there, David. These are all things that are blessings from God, but these are things that are in our lives day in and day out, and we recognize these, and oftentimes we will give thanks for such things, especially when things are going well. But shouldn't we give thanks even if things aren't going as well as we would like for them to? Shouldn't we look for the opportunities to thank God for that which He's given us? And remember, there are so many other things in our life that we need to recognize as blessings from God, our ability. We kind of touched on that. We talked about being able to go to work, to earn the money, to buy a house, or to pay the rent, or to get food. Our abilities are from God. Do we thank God for the ability we have? Whether it's some great ability, whether you're an opera singer and you thank God for the beautiful voice He gave you and the control you have of it, or you're the best ditch digger in the world, or you're a sorry ditch digger but you're able to do well enough to earn a living, do you thank God for that ability? You thank God for the nation that we live in. I don't know, I try to do my best not to get political, and so I'm not going to get too deep in that. But do you thank God for the nation we live in? Because I'm convinced personally that if you look around, you're not going to find one much better. Do you thank God for peace? What peace? Well, did you have any bombs going off in town this morning? Last week? Any gunfire that couldn't be attributed to deer hunters? I didn't. I call that peace. Did we have any riots? I know some places they did. Do you thank God for peace? When you went home last night and you finished your day and you brought yourself to that time of relaxation and getting ready to go to bed and you laid down in the bed, put your head on a pillow, if you sleep on a pillow, and you laid there, did you lay there with an understanding that more than likely, I'm going to get up in the morning and things are going to be well? Folks, that's peace. Did you thank God for peace? Do you thank God for your knowledge? For your understanding? For your wisdom? James tells us that all of that comes from God. We need to thank God for all things, always. Did you thank God for the environment? Did you notice the sun this morning? It was right there in the sky where it's supposed to be. A little different from where it was 3 months ago, but it's right there where it's supposed to be. It came up in the east, and I'm pretty sure it's going to set in the west. It does that every single day. Sometimes you can't see it, but it does it every day. What about the moon, the stars, the rain, the dry, the snow? Will you thank God for the snow? At least the first morning you get up and see it. You thank God for the land, for what it can bring us. Thank God for the seasons. I know just a few months ago there was a lot of people complaining about how hot it was. It's not hot anymore. Did you notice that? It's cool. A fella can walk outside in a short sleeve. At least as long as he stays in the sunshine. Do you thank God for these things? All good things come down from the Father of life. Are we thankful for what God has given us? But more importantly than this, are we thankful for the spiritual blessings God has given us? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In Him, we read a little bit later on in Ephesians 1, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. And I can't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 1. God has adopted us as children, and therefore there is an inheritance that is ours when we submit ourselves to His will. All spiritual blessings are ours in Christ, not because of anything that we earned, but because God graciously provided them for us. God saw that we had a need, and He fulfilled that need in Christ. All spiritual blessings are ours. We mentioned 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter there reminds us that God is our Father because He has adopted us. Jesus said, call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, for all are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Do you recognize the difference between being a slave and being a son? A slave is what the prodigal son expected to be when he came back to his father. A son is what his father told him he was. We're sons of God. God is our Father. What a great and wonderful blessing that is. Now we won't go back and read Luke 7 verse 44 through 50. But our text from this morning talks about the feelings we should have after forgiveness. And as I told my wife this morning when I was talking about this, I said the word thankfulness or thanksgiving or grateful is nowhere in this story. But the idea is all through this story. Simon wasn't thankful because he didn't recognize what God had done for him. because he didn't acknowledge that he had sinned. But that woman, whoever she was thankful. She recognized what God had done for her. Do we recognize the forgiveness that God has given us? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. What did our forgiveness cost God? Well, there's a whole other lesson there. I've preached it in the past. Maybe we'll look at it again someday. I'm confident we'll look at it in some form or another again someday. What did it cost God? It cost Him His Son. What did it cost me? It cost me, ultimately. But I didn't have to die. I could still live. It didn't cost my life. It cost me my obedience, my submission, my willingness to follow. And it is a great and marvelous blessing from God. For I could not have paid that price on my own. Reconciliation is ours through Christ. More than that, Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans 5 and verse 11, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Are you thankful that we have been reconciled to God, that you have been reconciled to God? We're back in a relationship with God, our Father. And that gives us hope. As we mentioned, we mentioned 1 Peter chapter 1, that inheritance is ours. And all through the chapter we've seen Peter referencing back to that and a reminder of the hope that that gives us, the assurance we have that the reward is ours as we only remain faithful to God. Paul told the Roman brethren, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have hope because of the relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. Because we submitted to the Word of God that lights our path and guides us on our way. You ever tried to navigate through some area that you've never been before? In the dark? Without a flashlight? Sometimes we're wary of navigating through our house in the dark without a flashlight. God provided us a way and a light to show that way. We need to be thankful for love, for God's love for us, for our love for one another, and for our love for God and what it means for us. We need to be thankful for our fellowship together. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, when he talked about Jesus, he said, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand what a blessing that is? We have fellowship with God, the Creator. And we have fellowship with one another. as we all have fellowship with God. We are in, I started to say we're in cahoots together, and to some degree that fits. We're all working together for the same thing. We're all one big group. Following after the same ideals and ideas. And doing everything within our power to help one another as we go through. By the way, here's a little preview for next week's lesson. We're going to talk about the work of ministry of the saints. I'll give you a little hint. It's got less to do with paying the bills than it does with teaching. Looking at that next week, Lord willing. We need to be thankful for this. We need to be grateful in all things. Paul told the Philippian brethren, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Another blurb. If you've been following along in our lessons on the Sermon on the Mount, you know the next lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, which should come the second Sunday of December, is about being anxious. Or, more particularly, about not being anxious. Because God has given us all these blessings. We're being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, Paul told the Colossian brethren, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. There's at least two things in that passage that we ought to be thankful for. The last one is easy to see. Because we share in the inheritance. But we also need to be thankful for the strength and power that gives us endurance and patience so that we can see our way through to the end and receive that inheritance. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 is probably a little more familiar to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thankfulness in all things. Give thanks in all circumstances, Paul told the Thessalonians. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to always be thankful. And if we are truly thankful, and taking advantage of the blessings that God has given us, and grateful to God for the abilities and the opportunities that He has given to us, I'm convinced it will cause us to want to share with others. Sometimes that sharing will take the form of helping the needy. Sometimes it will take the form of teaching those who need to be taught. Sometimes it'll just take the form of being a shoulder to lean on. And someone there to remind those who are downtrodden that there are things to be thankful for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul talks about the Macedonians. And he says, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. In other words, what they had received, they were so thankful for that they were willing to give to others. They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Because they were so thankful for what God had given them, they wanted to pass on to others. This they did not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then all the will of God to us. It creates a willingness to share, and as we go about sharing, it brings about even greater spiritual blessing. in 2 Corinthians 9, familiar passage to most of us. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But here's where it applies to this idea of sharing and we receive more. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He is distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Paul says when we give to others because we recognize that God has given to us, when our thankfulness to God overflows into helping others with blessings in whatever capacity it may be, God will ensure that we are not lacking. And we will receive even greater blessings than we have. Does that mean that if I give $100 to somebody who's standing on the side of the road needing money to buy food for their family, that when I go look in my bank account when I get home, I'm going to have $200 in there? No, it does not mean that. It doesn't. But I'm convinced it means I'll still have enough to take care of myself and my family. And sufficiently more that if I need to help somebody else, I can. Maybe not in money. Maybe in talent, ability, strength, maybe an encouragement, maybe in a shoulder to lean on. There's so many ways, and it multiplies. We see the grace of God, the righteousness that we shine forth that comes from God because we're obeying His will and doing what He would have us to do, and it produces thanksgiving, and then it starts all over again. So the question for each of us this morning is, am I thankful? Am I thankful for all that God has shared with us, with me in particular? Am I grateful for the food, clothing, and shelter? But more importantly, am I grateful for the spiritual blessings God has given us? We started this morning with that text from Luke chapter 7 because the point of our lessons, while sometimes it deals with the physical and the things we see, the point of our lessons are to get back into the Word of God and see how it draws me closer to Him. And so when we're being thankful to God, let's make sure that we are thankful not just for our physical blessings, but more so for the sacrifice of the Savior on Calvary's cross. For the blessing of forgiveness and reconciliation that God has given to us, that we are thankful that God has provided us a way through Jesus Christ that we can be free from sin. And that way is simple. Hear the Word and believe it to be true. When you believe and understand that God is, that He is the Creator, that He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for your sins, then take action upon that. Confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior, and give your life to Him. Turn away from who you had been. Stop following whatever you had been following and give yourself wholly over to follow Jesus and His Word and then be buried in baptism so that you might receive the remission of your sins by putting off the old man in the death of baptism and putting on the new man in the resurrection, just like Jesus died and was raised. If you look this morning and you find that you're outside the body of Christ, we encourage you to give attention to the Word of God, for it is the path that will lead us home. If you've taken those steps in the past and you recognize that you have strayed from that path, we encourage you to come back. There's only light to guide us home on the path God has given us. So come back to God. Confess your wrongs. Turn. Turn from them. Ask God to forgive. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, in the latter part of that chapter, he says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Come to God. That's the call of Jesus. That's the call of the gospel. Come to God. If you're subject, why don't you come while we stand and sing for encouragement?